This episode of Pat Trek is brought to you by Cards Against Humanity. They've asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy the show. We would like to thank the Chicago Podcast Co-op for bringing us that sponsor. The Chicago Podcast Co-op is a collective of excellent podcasts based right here in Chicago. Find out more at chicagopodcastcoop.com.
The late 80s. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television. And to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, and welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend Pat O'Rourke introduces me, Patrick Winninger, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, welcome back, man.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Man, December was a crazy month, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was out of town.
I broke my computer.
Yep, I broke mine, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
1-2 punch.
Oh, yeah.
To computers, yeah.
Yeah, my dog's hair got caught in the fan and busted it.
Wow.
Yep.
What a jerk.
I mean, it's not his fault. I should have vacuumed it out more, I guess.
But do you vacuum your computer?
I do. I try to at least once a month, but it's just the volume of hair over the course of like 3 years was too much.
Wow. That's a crazy story, Patrick.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah, we've been a little off schedule, though, the past month, so we'll get
the
back
holidays.
On. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, we should get back on a regular schedule of every Wednesday. Releasing these. We got those bonus episodes for y'all, though.
Have you listened to them yet?
I have. I love the sound effects.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. I couldn't help myself.
No, it was a great addition. That's super fun.
The third episode of that series is going to come out probably in the next few days. They take a long time to edit. A lot longer to edit than these do.
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll have that out, next couple days, maybe this weekend or so, to complete the story so we find out what happens to you and your ragtag crew of ensigns.
Yeah. I got no idea what happens, so find out. Next.
Well, anyway, we're talking about Peak Performance.
Peak
today,
Performance.
Which was a great episode.
I like this one.
Yeah, me too.
It came out for Patrick's log. This came out on July 10th, 1989. And the headline that I found was Mandela Meeting Draws Mixed Reaction.
Oh, wow.
Johannesburg, South Africa. President Peter Botha gives a surprise courtesy visit with jailed nationalist leader Nelson Mandela, which drew widely divergent reactions Sunday, with anti-apartheid leaders calling it a cheap government scheme to raise false hopes for Mandela's release, and others applauding it as a first step towards a peaceful settlement of South Africa's problems.
Wouldn't you hate to be on the wrong side of history with that one?
Yeah, that would suck.
One of those naysayers.
Yeah. When I read that, I was like, oh, shit, I forgot he was still in prison when I was alive.
Yeah, it seems so long ago.
I was like 4, so I would have no memory of this. But he didn't get out until like 1990.
Right. And he wasn't even a big figure in a lot of people's minds yet because he was just some guy.
And a lot of
right?
activists, like, yeah. And also, of course, in Africa. But
right,
like,
right, not here in America.
Right, yeah, I mean. Not yeah. Now it's just like, oh, he's universally beloved now that he's dead and all that stuff. But at that time, he was a dude in prison. Like, he was a radical that got imprisoned for being opposed to the apartheid state of South Africa. And, it's crazy to think of it. As me, a guy that was born in 1985, it's like, oh, yeah, Nelson Mandela, he's great.
Yeah.
Everyone agrees.
Right.
And now at this time, it's like, oh, wait, no, he was actually in jail. Like, he had to go to jail for, like, 20 years.
Yeah, and people were on different sides of the fence, whether or not he was a good guy or not.
So, yeah, I just thought that was interesting. It's like, that was going on in the world.
You can tell we're a little out of practice, because I forgot to do my fun fact.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The fun fact.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. Guess who's in this episode?
Well, let's see. There's that weird guy with the gills.
There's some Ferengi.
There's some Ferengi. That's
and
right.
And that means Armin Shimmerman's here.
The Armin Shimmerman?
The Armin Shimmerman. Quark himself.
Oh, Quark.
Yeah, you don't know who he is.
Yeah, I haven't seen Deep Space Nine.
He makes a big impact as Quark, a Ferengi, on Deep Space Nine. But he's also, from the very first time we saw the Ferengi, he played one. And then in this episode, he is the captain of that Ferengi ship that shows up, Bractor.
Bractor.
Bractor, yeah. So he's not Quark. He also looks a lot different.
Yeah, his head seems bigger than what I've seen pictures of Quark.
They also have the dopiest looks on their face, don't they? When the camera first turns to them?
They look surprised.
Yeah, they're like, huh?
They were the ones that showed up.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that.
Yeah. We should probably get into the episode, by the way. Just to remind y'all, this is peak performance.
Yeah.
We are chugging along through season two.
Almost done with it.
Almost, yeah. And I actually like this one.
Yes! I'm so happy to hear that,
This was a good episode, in my opinion.
We're back to watching Star Trek together.
Yeah.
We come back with a good one. Next week, we'll disappoint you, but right
that's
now,
what I
let's
hear.
Live in the glory.
That's what I hear. I'm living in the present. And in the present, this was a pretty decent episode of Star Trek, I think. It starts off kind of standard, except like the Enterprise isn't really going to any mission. This is one of the ones where they set off to do a mission at the beginning, and then they actually do it.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize until the end. It's like, they actually did the thing that they were originally assigned to do.
We could get into this at the end, but technically they don't.
That's right.
So it still gets sidetracked.
Well, what they're assigned what they're assigned to do is they got to meet with a shuttlecraft carrying the strategist because they've got to go through like this war game thing. Mm-hmm. The guy's name is Sirna Kolrami, and I heard his name the entire episode as Kohlrabi.
Yeah.
Which is a vegetable that I like to eat.
Mm-hmm.
That is not his name, apparently. It is Kohlrami.
It is not.
Oops. So he meets up to arrange this battle simulation thing in a place called the Brass Lotus System. And Riker is going to command this kind of broke down old-ass ship called the Hathaway.
The Anne Hathaway.
The USS Anne Hathaway. Yeah.
America's sweetheart.
Yes.
A broken down old ship.
it was not a nice thing for them to name that after her. this is a very busted-ass ship, and that is apparently the reason behind this whole thing. Riker has to take control of the Hathaway, like test his skill against a superior vessel.
Well, it's to test how well he can improvise in battle.
Right.
And the reason they're doing this is because of the Borg.
A little background, Kohlrami is this guy called a Zakdorn. He's got these like weird gills on his face.
First time we've ever seen one.
I have no idea what this guy is. He looks kind of like Baron Harkonnen. Have you ever seen Dune?
Yes.
Okay, a little bit. Not as gross.
Yeah, not nearly.
But the thing about the Zakdorn is they have, like, strategic minds. They're not necessarily warriors, but they're, like, good chess players, basically.
Tactical geniuses.
Yeah.
Which Worf just doesn't understand.
No, Worf is, like, they're talking about this dude in the bridge, and someone brings this, Data is, you know, rattling off all the stuff he knows about the Zakdorn. And he's like, yeah, they don't really act in battle. They're really good planners or good strategists. And Worf is like, what's the point? Which is probably a good point.
Yeah.
Like, war, people die. If you're not willing to put yourself out there, what are you doing?
But why do the Klingons always end up losing?
Well, yeah, because they don't have
strategy. No tactical brain whatsoever.
Right, yeah. So yeah. I would say maybe a nice middle ground.
Yes, exactly.
As always in Star Trek, the answer is somewhere in the middle.
Humanity.
Yeah. So Picard and Riker, they're talking about this simulation, and they're kind of reluctant. As you have said, Pat, well, this isn't a military vessel. It definitely is.
No, it's not.
It's definitely a military
vessel. No, it's not. That's what Picard brings up.
Look at everything they do
episode.
In this episode. Look at everything they do in this episode.
This is
a warship, dude.
I love how they at least give guys like me two lines of Picard.
He does like the standard two lines, like, oh, we're supposed to explore. We're not, and then,
But the Borg threat changes everything.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is what Kohlrami brings up. Everyone knows the Borg are about to wreck everyone's shit. Mm-hmm. They got to do something to prepare for it. And a war game is a peaceful way to do it. The way they have it set up is you have this inferior vessel, the Hathaway. Picard will be on the Enterprise, and the weapons systems will, like, shut down parts of the ship, but not damage them.
Right.
So you'll be able to figure out who wins peacefully, but you get to test your battle prowess.
Picard versus Riker.
Yeah.
How cool is
that? That's an awesome matchup.
Yeah, it is.
I am already down for,
and
like,
you know,
the...
I bet Riker would do better in a less powerful ship than he would if he were the one in the more powerful ship.
Well, I think the
because
thing...
Because of the way Riker
right.
does...
He's more daring.
Yeah, exactly.
That's his whole deal.
Yeah.
So Picard...
Rash.
Yeah, Picard gives Riker, he's like, all right, you get the first choice of officers, but I get Data. So they're kind of doing like this basketball type thing where they're like picking who's on whose team. Picard gets Data. Because Data is always the first officer when Riker's not there. So Riker is going down to engineering. He gets Geordi. Geordi has already got all of this, like, tools and stuff. He's like, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I knew you were going to pick me. Let's do it. And then he goes into Worf's quarters.
Love this scene.
Worf is building a little wooden ship.
He is.
That's normally Geordi's thing.
They have that in common now.
I guess so. Did, like, Worf... I can't remember in that episode. Did Worf... In the Sherlock one, did Worf, like, see Geordi doing this and pick
remember.
It up from him? He's building
remember.
A little wooden ship, which is not a thing that I would initially expect Worf to do, but now that I'm seeing it, it's like, this kind of makes sense. And
he's got to relieve stress somehow. We
right.
can't always just be murdering things in the holodeck.
But you can see he's, like, strained doing it. It's like, oh, this sucks, but I got to do it. He's, like, trying to let off some steam, but he just doesn't know how.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
not used to doing it. He's always pissed off all the time. It's great.
When Riker comes in there...
He, like, hides it.
He just throws like, it away.
Yeah.
Riker goes, are you busy? And then Worf just dumps it all in the garbage.
It's like, I don't... See, I'm not sure if that was like, all right, I'm finished. Or he was trying to, like, keep it out of sight. I'm not entirely sure.
Well, he did a horrible job at that.
Yeah.
I think he was trashing it, like, forget this. Let's go do some war games.
Oh, yeah, that makes more sense. I thought he might have been embarrassed by it, but then again, like...
I think he was.
Maybe a little, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It's funny regardless. And, you know, that's just a neat little addition that mm-hmm. It took no effort at all to include that in the script. And I liked it. It's, yeah. I like those... Nice little things. So,
although Worf does find war games to be pretty...
Yeah, he's like, it needs to be actual battle. And then he brings this up with Riker. He's like, look, man, this is a waste of time. But Riker's like, well, you know, you should probably join because there's no way we could possibly win. Like, this is hopeless, the situation that we have. Just imagine if we win, how cool that would be. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what basically puts him, is this idea of a challenge.
Right.
That, I guess, appeals to, like, some part of Klingon culture.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it still lacks death, and he makes sure to comment on that.
Oh, yeah. The idea that you have to constantly be in physical danger is weird to me.
It's the only way you prove yourself as a warrior.
Because Worf has not died yet.
No.
He hasn't
he's
come
barely been
close
hurt.
To dying. Yeah. It is, and he's had plenty of opportunities to, like, be the dude that dies, and
yeah.
it's never happened.
He didn't even fight that ink monster that
right,
killed
exactly.
Yar.
It should have been him.
Gone down there. It should have been Worf.
Yeah. Not that I want it to be Worf, but it would make more sense. Like, any time there's any danger, Worf needs to do something dumb and run into it, if that's his whole thing. But yeah, he makes it clear. It's like, it would be cooler if we could all be killed, but... still, that's I guess that's pretty neat. I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we're facing impossible odds.
You know, Riker does get the A team here.
Yeah, he also gets Crusher.
Yeah.
He goes and gets Wesley
boy
as
genius.
Like an observer. Yeah. So he's got the boy genius, he's got the crack mechanic, he's got the orc. He's got like this D&D team.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
So Worf is like the tank. Wesley's like the mage. Geordi's like the paladin, I guess.
Geordi is the tinkerer gnome.
Oh, he's the gnome. Okay. I don't know what Riker... Riker's like the all-around dude.
Yeah, he's the Eldritch Knight.
Yeah, the point is he's got a classic...
Whoa,
like,
deep
team.
Cut shit going on right here, Patrick.
He's got like a classic team to handle this.
He does.
So, if I were Picard,
cleric, though.
He no left, cleric, no.
He left Pulaski.
They don't have
the
a healer. They left Pulaski. Yeah, no healer. So...
Oh, no.
Another thing that has come up about this Khal Rami guy is he's like a grandmaster at this game called Strategema.
Yeah.
Which they never explain how it works.
They never do in Star Trek.
Okay.
These games, they play a lot of really weird games, and you never get the rules.
I was going to ask if you had any idea how this works.
No, it's squares and circles, and they move really fast.
All right, this scene is so weird.
And they wiggle their fingers.
Yeah. So before they go on the simulation, Riker wants to challenge Kohlrami to a game of this. And they go to, like, 10 forward, and Pulaski is really into this idea of Riker beating this dude because she hates Kohlrami.
Right.
As every time...
Because she's a total speciesist. Have you noticed that?
I have.
She hates
all
species besides the human.
Well, people point out to her, it's just like, look, man, this is just how Zach Dorns are. Mm-hmm. And she, like, the first thing she says about Kohlrami is, oh, he needs an attitude adjustment.
Right.
That you kind of get the sense it's like you can't just say that.
No.
And but she sets up this match between Riker and him because she's like, yeah, he needs to be taken down a peg. He's kind of an arrogant jerk.
And Riker's like, there's no way I'm gonna win.
And he doesn't.
For Riker, it's more of just, hey, I do not fear you,
right,
kind of thing. I'm ready to do anything. Let's do this on your terms, and I'm happy to participate.
Yeah. He just likes to fight.
Yeah.
That's his whole deal. He knows he's going to lose, and they set up this game where they're at a table, and they put, I swear to God, these are cow milkers that they put on their fingers. I have a cousin.
They're painted silver.
I have a cousin that has a dairy farm, and when I was a kid, we went there, and I remember like milking a cow, and that's what they look like. These things look like cow milkers that they put on their fingers.
Yes.
And they're playing like this weird... Pong type game.
I don't think that's what it is. I think they have to move the circles and take over the squares.
It's like Go, I guess. It's like this Japanese game.
Oh, yeah. It's probably like that.
It's probably based off that.
Right.
But it's played incredibly fast.
Right.
There's a huge crowd, and they're like, yeah, Riker, go, go. And Riker just gets his ass kicked. Like
in 21 moves or something.
I don't know what is a win or how, but it's the score, I think, is like 100-20.
Yeah. Well, Kohlrami, the thing they talk about is how long the games can take. Because if they're well matched against each other, the number of moves is how you see how good of a match it was.
Oh, okay.
So if you lose in 20 moves, you got your butt kicked.
Okay.
So I think it's a lot like chess, where there's like an objective of some kind.
So he's like playing speed chess in front of the Art Institute.
Yeah.
Okay. He just got his ass kicked by this dude.
Which,
so, you
know, they do play three-dimensional chess. Have you seen that board?
Yeah, I think
so
I
do
yeah.
something like that.
Okay. Well, he loses.
He gets his butt kicked.
Yeah. And Worf, by the way, has bet a lot of money that Riker would get past a certain point, which he does not collect on. So... Data, he's watching this, and he's really interested by the urge to get into competition. Like, what drives human beings to get into this? Pulaski and Geordi, they're like, hey, Data, you're an impossibly smart computer. Wouldn't it be cool if you challenged this grandmaster to a game? Because, as we said... we really hate this dude. He wants to be taken down a notch. Like
we're speciesists, and we don't like the way he lives his life.
Yeah, we don't like this guy coming in here and to our ship and bossing us around. So,
talking about statistics and likelihoods of things happening.
Yeah. So after Riker loses almost immediately, they want to set up this. Oh, all right, we've got this other guy that could beat the hell out of him.
Yeah, they're trying to shark him.
Yeah.
So, you thought we were weak. Just wait until we get you with Data.
Right. So after the match between Riker and Kohlrami, Riker and the team, they go over to the Hathaway. And the deal is they got 48 hours to fix the ship. It's broken, by the way. They send them to a busted-ass ship.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like dangerous. Because when it gets to the Hathaway... And by the way, this is my favorite aesthetic in sci-fi, is like busted-ass ships that look like they could barely fly.
Right. It's a bunch of circuit boards.
Yeah, like Red Dwarf type shit.
Yeah.
It's like, should not be in space. This is the set where they're at.
You know, they're on the Battle Bridge. They've just changed it around a little bit.
Oh, so the Battle Bridge we've seen a couple times.
Yeah, when they separate the ship.
Okay.
Yeah, the other bridge.
They just like
let it get
messy.
Yeah, they made it messy and they moved some of the red lights around.
They put some tarps on stuff. Everything is covered in dust. And my favorite part about this is that there are open just wires hanging from the ceiling.
Right.
and people are just pulling on them. Like, that's how they're cleaning the ship. Like, yeah, this probably doesn't do anything.
Yeah, that's how they're fixing it, is by ripping out the wires. By
ripping out the wiring with their bare hands.
That's a good point. Well, we'll get into their safety.
All the lights are on, too. So it's like, you know that, it's like, you didn't even turn off the circuit breaker. Like, what the hell are y'all
doing?
They
turn it on and then continue working.
Yeah.
All the lights get even brighter.
Look, I assume they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So,
I sure hope so, or they all have
all of them would
poisoning.
Be dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Worf is not really into this idea, which is weird because I thought he wanted a challenge, and, you know, that's the challenge, is you're flying a really terrible ship. But Riker is like, hell yeah.
Yeah, he's excited.
Yeah, we're going to fix this ship. We're going to kick their asses. And meanwhile, Wesley and Geordi, they're down in engineering, and this is the part that always confuses me. They're messing around with the lithium crystal, dilithium. I'm not sure what it is. They just, like, handle these things with their bare hands.
Yeah.
Every time I see them,
they stick their head into the reactor.
It's like, I assume it's safe within this universe of the show.
We're post-nuclear.
So it's
not
like
nuclear energy.
It's like a thorium reactor kind of thing. Where
I don't
you
know
can
what
just,
thorium is.
It's I don't know enough about it, but it's supposed to be safer than, like, uranium.
Yeah.
So it's not radioactive, whatever they're doing.
No, not at all, clearly.
Yeah.
If it were, faces would be melting.
All of these people would be dead.
Right. No, yeah. They stick their head right in there, grab that crystal.
Yeah, the point
hand.
Is they don't have much crystal. Mm-mm. So there's only these little slivers left, so they can't warp. It can't power. It's not enough to power the warp drive. So that's, like, a serious disadvantage.
Right.
That they have on the Enterprise.
They can't warp away, regroup, and then
right.
remount an attack or anything.
Yeah. Meanwhile, on the Enterprise, Kurami is going toe-to-toe with Data on this Strategema game. I don't know how to pronounce it. I don't know how it's played. I know it has cow milkers on it. I'm pretty sure. They have repurposed those for the future. So
it's a good thing they found a use for this.
Yeah, they recycle.
Yeah.
So Pulaski, you know, she's been pushing Data into this. She really wants to see this guy getting taken down a peg.
She even volunteered him to do it. He
didn't
do it himself.
He didn't want to do it.
No.
She just put him into the chair, basically. And so basically, Kohlrami is doing it because if he beats a computer, he's like the biggest badass in the world. This is like beating Deep Blue or whatever.
Right. Which must have been going on.
I assume it was going on at the same time, like Bobby Fischer or something, or
yeah.
Garry Kasparov is probably playing against Deep Blue.
Right. Because they kept talking about man versus machine.
This Ooh. Has to be right. some kind of analogy to that.
Mm-hmm. Data gets his butt kicked.
Yeah.
Data loses.
Yeah. It's really weird that, like, he's supposed to win. He's a computer. But it's a little better than what Riker did. He doesn't lose, like, immediately. But he wins 100-81, Kohlrami does, which I don't know what the points mean, but that's slightly better than how Riker did, but he still loses.
Yeah.
Data is like, everyone thinks that he's, you know, his feelings are hurt. Like, Troy tries to console him, and he's just like, oh, that's weird. That wasn't supposed to happen.
I have no ego.
Yeah.
It can't be bruised.
Yeah.
My heart can't be broken.
Yeah, but something must be wrong.
See, but it is broken.
Yeah.
His ego is bruised. He's assuming that he's broken.
Yeah.
That's what he thinks.
Yeah.
So that's how you feel when your ego gets bruised, right? Something's wrong with me. What's wrong with me to make this happen?
Well, yeah. So
and that's what he's doing. It's the most human response we've seen out of Data.
But he does it in, like, a computer way, because, like, after he loses, he goes to his quarters and he's, like, trying to run all these different simulations about why he lost or whatever. And Troy's talking to him. And she's like, yeah, you know, this is what people do when they lose. They either get upset or they learn from it, and you're like trying to learn from it. That's a reaction to losing. And he's like, look, again, I have no ego. That's not programmed into me. I just think I'm malfunctioning, so I'm trying to figure out what the malfunction is.
Right. I love it.
Which is like
how people feel when their egos are bruised.
It is how people react, but he's doing it for a different reason.
I think it's the same reason.
Yeah. I mean, he thinks it's a, like, physical problem with his operations. Whereas,
well, of course, because that's the only way.
That's the only way he could interpret it. Yeah,
right.
It was a neat way to explain a robot's ego being bruised.
Right.
But the point is that he's, like, holding himself up in his quarters until he figures this out.
Right. because he won't give Picard any sort of advice. He won't do anything until he figures
because
out
because if
how
he is malfunctioning, he's like, that could be a serious issue. Because I don't second guess myself because I'm a robot or an android.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I'm malfunctioning, I got to figure out what the cause of this is. So while he's in his quarters back on the Hathaway, Worf is like trying to figure out a plan. And his plan is to use the Enterprise's sensors to create a fake image of another hostile ship. Apparently you can do that.
So this makes me really mad at Worf. Because if Worf knows that this is a weakness on the Enterprise,
yes,
and he can exploit it, shouldn't he have fixed it last week on the Enterprise when he figured this out?
Shouldn't he have told someone that you can do this?
What a huge problem,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
This is a giant weakness. And Worf is just like, hey, I know
he's like
secret.
The security officer or whatever on the bridge, right?
Oh, Worf, fix that shit, man.
Well, the other thing is he didn't tell Picard that this could happen to his ship.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, by the way, I know how anyone could hack into this.
Yeah.
And make us lose a battle.
From an old-ass ship, too.
Right.
It's something that apparently is super easy to do.
Yeah, because they do it.
Yeah.
You know, spoiler, they do this.
Flawlessly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's his idea. He's like, we create another image.
Thousands of lives are at risk,
Patrick. Yeah, I know.
Worf could have
There's no reason this should happen.
No!
I assume they fix this immediately, and like Worf is thrown into the brig for like not telling anyone.
Yeah, exactly. He did his job very poorly.
So, yeah, that's his plan, to like distract him with a fake image of a ship. Mm-hmm. Crusher is like, I left my science project. I got a science project on the Enterprise. I got to go back and turn it off because it's like really important for my exam. And Riker's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Dumb kid.
He's like mad, and he's got to, you know, contact the Enterprise and say, you know, this kid, he left his science project on the Enterprise. Can we beam him back? Kohlrami is saying, well, I'll allow it, but only if he's under, like, careful guard. So there's this guy, Burke, that I don't think we've seen before.
No, some blonde guy.
Yeah, and he escorts Crusher over to get his antimatter thing. Crusher's like, oh no, my antimatter experiment, it's broken. Well, I'm going to take it back to the Hathaway and I'll jettison it into space. And Burke's like, okay, whatever, I don't care. You're a kid. And they just like let him take this antimatter thing that he built back to the Hathaway. And you see, like, Crusher has this wry smile on his face. Like,
he duped him.
He duped him.
He cheated.
Well, yeah.
I think that's cheating.
It is. I also think within the rules of this, it's kind of allowed. I'm more concerned about Worf exploiting this huge security flaw in the Enterprise.
Yeah, it's true.
The other thing that they brought up, Riker says they won't know it's fake unless they look out the window. Which, when I first started watching Star Trek with you, I was like, so is that view screen? That's just a TV screen, basically.
Right.
There are no portholes in the bridge.
Mm-mm.
All of this could be fixed if they just had one.
Right.
Like, just in case.
Right, exactly.
Just something to look out, maybe if the power goes out.
Why Worf needs to go to jail right now?
Yeah. Well, that's just the design of the ship, because if they had a porthole, they could just, like, look out and be like, oh, yeah.
It's a crucial part of the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, nope. Worf is going to exploit that. Crusher went to get his antimatter thing, and they just let him do it.
And you know, in original series, Spock had this thing he would look through. It was to check the sensors and stuff. It was a little, remember like Game Boy VR that was all red?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those.
Virtual Boy.
Yeah, Virtual Boy, that's what it was called. He would like look through a Virtual Boy and be able to see things. But they apparently have even gotten rid of that. So it's just the view screen.
Well, it's like in the movie, they have the view screen, but it is projected through this like bulletproof glass type thing.
Oh, you're talking, but that's the Kelvin universe. It's completely
different.
Yeah,
I know, but I just, you know, that I think that's a cool way to deal with that.
Yeah, that glass that they can shatter with a phaser.
Yeah, that part was dumb. And beyond.
It is also very weak.
Yeah, it should be incredibly strong.
They really need to figure out this whole looking out the window thing.
Yeah, they just need a window, just any window.
I'm surprised they don't have like a periscope of some sort.
Yeah. There's a lot of issues here.
How they see
anybody
out
there designing a spaceship, come talk to us first. We've thought about this a lot. Meanwhile, back on the bridge, Kohlrami is like, he's basically shit-talking Riker in front of Picard.
Yeah, what a jerk.
Yeah. You know what? P- Pulaski was right. This Kohlrabi dude sucks.
I love him. I love how...
I love the character, though.
Yeah, how it's portrayed is great. He's just...
The actor does a great job, yeah. But, like, Picard is understandably very upset with this dude. He like, takes him by the ear to the ready room, and he's like, look, what is your problem, dude? And Kohlrabi is like, you know, Riker, he's a decent officer. It's just, I look through his files and kind of find him wanting. Like, he doesn't have the stuff that you need for a captain. He's a little too informal, which is a funny way to put it. Yeah.
He's a dog.
Yeah, Riker's a dog. That dirty dog.
He's a dirty dog who likes speech.
Yeah. Forgot about that. But Picard is like, look, Riker is different from me. Okay, I get that. He's never going to be me. I'm never going to be him. But he can be a captain because his leadership style, while it's different from me, the fact that he's like jocular but still capable and very confident, that's how he draws people in. Mm-hmm. And that's how he inspires loyalty. I inspire loyalty through a different way. But that's okay that he still gets a job done, dude. You don't understand.
Although he doesn't want to be a captain.
Well, he wants to serve with Picard.
Yeah. He's twice refused to be a captain.
Yeah. So this
whole... I think that has to be one of the strikes against him as well.
Probably. And I'm not sure what ranking Kohlrabi has in Starfleet exactly. It sounds to me that he technically outranks Picard because he like tries to tell him something later, but Picard's like, you're on my ship, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's some liaison for Starfleet or something.
Yeah, he probably has some kind of diplomatic... Mm-hmm. Post. But the point is that he doesn't like Riker, and Picard is like, you know what? Riker's going to prove himself. You'll see.
He can be a captain someday, but probably never.
Probably never, just for the purposes of this show. That would be really bad if one of our chief actors left to do a spinoff
and I believe
in season three.
I believe he's directing now. He starts directing the show as well.
Oh,
yes,
really?
He does, yeah.
Cool. Good for you. So Data, he's still back at it, trying to test what is going wrong with him. But he's performed a full diagnostic, and he's found it's like, there's no mistakes that I made. So it must be my diagnostic or my deductive, whatever I'm using to do this test, is wrong. Something is wrong with me. But Pulaski is telling Data that, look, what you got to do is you got to rebuild from the loss. You got to do what humans do. You sulked enough, suck it up, and get back in the bridge.
Right. Learn from it.
Yeah, learn
from
it.
Be a man right now, you android. Be like a human. I'm a speciesist.
Yeah.
I don't believe anyone should act differently than people do. And
right.
By people, I mean human beings.
Yeah, Pulaski is probably the worst possible person to send to talk to Data.
Oh, my gosh.
But
yes.
She does give him the correct advice. Like,
she does.
Look, you're not going to kill anybody. You're working fine. Just get it together, dude. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, on the
Why
Hathaway...
Why is she suddenly so supportive of him?
She changed, I think, at some point in early, like, mid-season two. Mm. I don't know if the writers did it differently or if it's just, like, the natural progression of the character, but she's not as, like, dismissive of androids now. I think it's probably because of just working in close quarters with Data. She's like, oh, he's just different, but he's still capable and probably more capable than me, so...
Yeah,
just
at
operates
every
differently.
Task.
And, yeah, in every way.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, on the Hathaway, Crusher and Geordi, they're hooking up this weird globe thing that he built. And the idea is that it's some kind of antimatter thing that could briefly fuel the warp engines. They've never tried it.
This is crazy.
This will definitely blow up the
yes.
ship. I was telling you when I was watching it, it's like... This is like if you're in a nuclear submarine, you just like find some uranium on the seafloor, and you're like, oh, yeah, we can put that in the reactor. We're out of fuel, but we put that in the reactor, we'll be fine.
I know.
Go for like a year.
I mean, there's a difference between being daring and being stupid.
Being maybe killing 40
yeah,
people.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, they were ripping...
For a war game.
They were ripping wires out of the walls with their bare hands, so apparently they don't give a shit. Riker, at first, like... The first 5 seconds when he hears this plane, he's like, oh, yeah, it's going to kill us.
Yeah.
Probably not going to do that. But then he believes him, and then he actually thinks it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, he's more thinking, how badass is this going to be if it works?
If we win.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So the idea is they hook up the science experiment. It's supposed to run through the crystals, and that'll let them warp, at least briefly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and if not, the engines will stall out.
Well, yeah.
And they'll be trampled.
Right.
So I guess...
even worst case scenario, they won't blow up.
The ship just stops.
Yeah. According to Boy
According
Genius.
To the guy that made the science experiment, that again is antimatter,
yeah.
that has some kind of a reaction, and which just sounds bad to me.
I love how Geordi, too, is just kind of shrugging. Like,
Geordi,
yeah,
Geordi
it'll
just
work.
Says it'll screw up the engine.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Ever go puddle Those jumping through a swamp, he says? Something
yeah.
like that.
It's yeah. like pulling the key out of a jet ski. Is basically what will happen if it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the stakes, I guess. So, yeah, they have 2 seconds. And that's if the warp works. Meanwhile, Troy and Pulaski, they tell Picard about what's going on with Data. And Picard is not having it. He immediately goes to Data and makes him snap out of it.
I love Picard in this scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. It's just like Data, it's like, oh, but, you know, I messed up or whatever. I made a mistake. And Picard is like, look, mistakes are part of life. You just got to deal.
Yeah.
You know, get back on my bridge.
Failure is part of life, he
yeah.
says, which is so true.
But there's no way that, you know, machines aren't supposed to fail.
Yeah.
If they fail, like, they aren't able to function.
Yeah.
So I can see how to Data that's a really alien idea, that failure is acceptable.
Yeah, but he also says just because you failed doesn't mean you made a mistake.
Right.
Which is true, too.
Yeah.
And the best you can ever do and still not get what you want, that doesn't mean that you made mistakes along the way. You just did whatever you could to get there.
Yeah. Whatever he says to Data, it works.
He also says, leave that second guessing behind.
Right.
Which is pretty great. Anyway, great scene.
Yeah.
Two powerhouses together.
Yeah. And it works.
Mm-hmm.
Data is in the observation lounge. He's talking to Troy about tactics. And it goes through this kind of funny, like, circular reasoning about what they think Riker's going to do. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, well, we know that he's a man of action, but he knows that we know, and we know that he knows. And so their Data is trying to figure out what the possible avenues of Riker's action will be.
Shows the weaknesses of thinking in stats and percentages.
Right.
Because 21% of the time he follows protocol.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
Yeah. So
does
Troy,
he know that we know that?
Troy points this out. That's like, look, just we know this guy, right?
What kind of man is he?
What kind of man is Riker?
A horn dog.
Yeah. Besides a horn dog, he's a fighter. So we know that he's going to fight, and he's going to fight to the end. And the more desperate the situation, the more likely he is to fight. So Data's like, we need to draw him into some kind of action that we can control.
Yes.
Because we know that he's going to act.
Right.
That's just how he is. So this is kind of a parallel with, like, this Kohlrami guy. He keeps, like, talking about how you have to manage people based on statistics and blah, 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 blah. Everyone else is telling him, look, no, we know these people and we know how to interact with them. And so that Troy's suggestion is kind of more on that tack, is like, mm-hmm. look, what kind of man is Riker? That's how we're going to proceed. So the battle is about to start, and Picard starts this thing called the Kuma maneuver.
It's awesome.
I don't know what that means.
Neither do I. But it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Because everyone gets a sly look on their face.
Yeah. So
Riker's like, ooh, he's trying to get us to make a move.
Yeah. Worf apparently knows what the Kuma maneuver is, too. And they counter with the Talupian maneuver, which I don't know what that is either. And they're maneuvering.
That's pretty great, though. Everyone seems impressed.
Everyone is very impressed with each other. They know what the other one is doing, too. Because they're like, oh, they're doing that, so they must think that we're going to do this. And this is all interrupted because a Romulan warship just shows up out of nowhere. And I was surprised initially until I remembered, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. They were going to do that. They're going to mess with the sensors.
Mm-hmm.
That's not real. The Enterprise is distracted, though. They think it's a real attack. But then it turns out, oh, wait, it's a hologram. By the time they've realized that, the Hathaway has just raked their stern with these attacks, and mm-hmm. it shut down a whole bunch of decks of the ship. So this
cunning action,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
we're seeing a space battle. This is
yeah,
fun as
it's
hell.
Great.
Yeah. So while the Enterprise is busy with that, Picard immediately realizes what was going on, that he's been fooled, and he prepares to fire. But then the Hathaway is starting to prepare, like, this warp jump. They're going to surprise the hell out of them with this cool thing that they built, but it's all interrupted by another ship, a Ferengi vessel. But this one's real. It's actually real, and it actually shoots at the Enterprise. Mm-hmm.
And Picard doesn't react
because
he thinks it's a trick.
He thinks it's fake.
Yeah. Because of this huge security flaw that Worf didn't fix.
Worf didn't fix this thing.
God damn it, Worf!
And it weakens the shields, disables the transporters, so they can't transport anybody, by the way.
Mm-mm.
So that's a problem.
And their guns are all disarmed because they're in the middle of this war game.
Yeah, and no one can attack the Ferengi because, all the weapons have been messed up. So the Ferengi have stopped. They're just kind of parked in front of the Enterprise. They're in this weird situation.
That's dumb Ferengi.
It's
how did we get here?
It's just bizarre. I don't really know why they did this until finally they set up a hailing frequency and they're talking to each other.
Again, they look so dopey.
I know.
The hailing frequency turns on and they're just staring like slack-jawed back at Picard.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, Armin, did you have a plan? Or Bractor, whatever your name is?
So
what were you thinking?
What the reason why they're here is... They saw this thing going on. They're like, you're attacking this vessel, and now you're defending it. Let's do it. It's probably valuable. We want it.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're pirates, basically.
Yeah, I mean, basically.
They're just, we saw you have this thing, and we want to steal it.
Yeah.
So give it. And they believe that, we got the upper hand. Both of your ships are unharmed, or unarmed, so there's really nothing that you can do. They got 10 minutes to decide, or we're going to blow you up. That's the choice.
Why did they give him 10 minutes?
I don't know.
Ferengi, get your act together.
So I like this episode, but this part at the end is where it's like, every time when they try to end it, it always like...
Completely
agree. It doesn't make sense.
Completely agree. And I think it's because they didn't want us to see who would win between Riker and Picard. Because that would have been too great.
Just make Picard... maybe win.
Yeah, why not?
Or Riker. Make Riker win. I don't care.
I care.
I just want to see somebody win.
I think Picard would win, ultimately. He's got the better ship, and he is the better captain. That's why Riker works for him.
Yeah, but Riker's got to come through in the end because he's got to show up Kohlrabi or whatever.
Well, yeah, but Kohlrabi. He just has to put up an epic fight. Do some really cool moves, but then Picard can shut him down because Picard should shut him down, or else Riker should go take a captain job somewhere else.
Well, this
if Riker could win this fight, then what is he doing?
Well, this is where Riker gets to kind of surprise everybody because Picard is trying to confer with Riker.
Oh, yeah, and this the real ending of this episode.
Yeah,
I'd rather just talk about Riker and Picard.
He's just like, hey, Riker, so this is a situation. What do you think we should do? And Riker tells him about the warp thing that they built.
Mm-hmm.
Kohlrabi is like, what the hell? That shouldn't be possible. Well,
how
hey.
How did you do that?
Guess what? It is.
And then Picard, I think, goes, I told you he's the best.
Right. Picard is like, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I'm still going to try to beat you in this war game, but that is really cool. Thank you for proving how badass you were. Data fixes this plan where they're going to fire photon torpedoes at the Hathaway, but the Hathaway is going to jump, like warp drive, right at the last second. So it won't blow up if they do it right.
Mm-hmm.
The Ferengi will be tricked, and hopefully we'll just go away.
But what if the engine stalls?
Then they die.
Oh, boy.
So this
you're going to lose the A-team.
So the stakes have just been raised from, we'll
should
lose
should have brought
this.
That cleric.
Yeah, the stakes have been raised from the engines will stall out to we actually will die and blow up if this doesn't work. So it better work. Whew. Riker agrees to this plan, even with the possibility of, we could all die.
Oh, that dirty
because
dog.
The choice is, and Kohlrabi is telling Picard, you just have to give them the ship.
I know. What a coward.
Well, he was like, that's Starfleet policy. You have 1,000 people on this ship. You only got 40 on that other one.
Yeah.
Riker agrees with that. But Picard doesn't want to give up his crew.
No.
He's like, we see a way out of this. We're going to see this through.
Worst case scenario, we blow them all up.
Yeah. Which was going to happen to them anyway.
Yeah, they're dead either way. So, maybe give them a chance out of there.
Yeah. It just turns out that the plan works. Picard is negotiating with the Ferengi. They fire these fake...
he's basically like, you can't have our property.
Right. And it looks like it explodes. And the Ferengi are impressed because what, to their eyes, what just happened is the Federation, rather than giving over a prize vessel, blew it up and said, you can't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ferengi are just like, oh my God. They said, I didn't know the Federation had such iron.
Yeah.
Which... I can see how this is pretty badass to their eyes. So just how the Hathaway was able to kind of mess with the Enterprise sensors.
How does this work? The logic here makes no sense. I'll let you explain what it is before I get angry at it.
They also do the same thing with the sensors on the Ferengi ship.
Yeah.
Which, as has been established in this universe, is not an alien race they're very familiar with or have encountered.
So how does he do the same security exploit?
On a completely different vessel.
Completely different language.
Yeah.
Completely different setup to the bridge. Like, nothing is the same.
It somehow works.
How can Worf do
that?
Is this
a universal flaw in every ship in the universe?
Is Worf a genius? He has hacked every ship in the entire universe.
You know, I thought he was the tank. He's the mage, dude.
He's casting minor illusion all
over
the
place. Right, yeah. So it works. And the Ferengi, they say, well, gotta get the hell out of here.
No, boy, we're not fighting another... it was a Federation ship.
Federation starship, yeah. So they get the hell out. And Kohlrami is finally admitting that he underestimated Riker. That this guy is actually pretty darn good at what he does.
Finally? How many badass moves does Riker have to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turns out this one. So we don't really get to see who would win between Picard and Riker, but as they're towing the Hathaway, Data and Kohlrami are rematching in that Stratego game.
Stratego. So, I would like it if it was Stratego. They bust out an old board game.
Yeah.
Like plastic pieces.
They're just going to town. They're like, Kohlrami is, he's kind of breaking a sweat. Data is a robot, so he's calm and not even blinking.
He's an android.
But the game is going on for like thousands of moves.
Yeah.
Which,
the longest in history.
Yeah. Which Worf points out, no other game has ever gone this long. Finally, Kohlrami just like, he puts the sticks down. He's like, oh, this is stupid.
I quit.
You're wall hacking. It's dumb. Can't have all these no-scope headshots. It's stupid. You cheat. Hacks. And he just leaves.
Yeah. What you're doing to the game is disgraceful.
Yeah, he thinks Data is mocking him.
Mm-hmm.
This is where, I forgot to mention this earlier, but Pulaski told Data to bust him up.
Yeah.
That's what she wanted Data to do to Kohlrami. That's what she means by take him down a peg. Bust him up. Data explains to everyone, look, I wasn't playing to win. I didn't think I could win, but I know that I could stall him. So rather than playing to advance, I just played to stalemate, to the point where he'd give up, because I knew that he would, because I just got in his head.
Yep.
I busted him up.
Yeah, you did.
And that's the end of the episode.
Smug smile from Data.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
That was a great ending.
That was an awesome ending, yeah. Yeah.
Well, Patrick, this is the part of the podcast where we like to rate what we just saw. If we thought it was amazing, must watch Star Trek, we set to kill. If we thought it was pretty good, if it comes up in the queue, check it out, we set to stun. And if it's avoid at all costs, no reason to ever watch this one, we leave it in the holster. So, Patrick, what did you think?
I'm going to say set to kill.
Yeah! Boo, 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 boo.
Oh, man, they got some machine guns on the phasers now.
They got upgraded over Christmas.
Damn. Well, yeah, no, it had a couple minor problems, you know, like exploiting that fatal flaw in the sensors, the Ferengi's plan just not making any damn sense. But I really like the parallels between people dealing with Kohlrami and showing like these different types of management and how to solve a problem. It's not just raw statistics. You also have to know the people behind the issues that you're dealing with and how they operate. Everyone who won or bested someone did it by getting in the head of the other person.
Yeah.
So Riker outsmarted, even though he didn't win technically, he did play it to stalemate against impossible odds. So I'm going to say he won.
Oh, wow. Hot take from Patrick Winnegar.
Yeah, he
did great.
That long.
Yeah.
He did it by getting in Picard's head, and Data won against Kohlrami by getting in his head.
Yeah.
So I thought, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we finally got to see some space battles.
Yeah, we did.
Jeez.
More to come.
Oh, thank God.
Well, Patrick, I agree with you. This is a set to kill episode. Oh, you're trying again. Yeah.
Those are grenade launchers.
Kurami is one of my favorite characters.
It's a great character.
Two. You know, they've had this guy on the bridge a couple of times. This type of character, you know, douchey, smug, know-it-all. This version of it was great. The portrayal of it, loved him.
Yeah, he doesn't turn into like a neckworm parasite.
No.
Okay. Because that's what happened to the last guy.
No, and he also admits when he's wrong. Like, he does back down, but is still super swarmy about it.
Well, yeah, that's what he's supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the whole deal. No
he's
one likes
like giddy at certain points.
Yeah, no one likes the auditor.
No. No.
That job has got to exist. He's
exactly.
just the guy that's doing it.
He's running the game and yeah. enjoying himself. I don't know. Love this episode. I love the idea of Picard versus Riker. I would love to see that come to life a little bit better, to your
yeah.
point. The Ferengi showing up are a little bit of a disappointment to me because I'm so excited about that moment. And, of course, I knew this was coming. I was just like, no, maybe this time the Ferengi were just an illusion in my mind. But, yeah, great episode. One of the best of season two. Not the best of season two, but definitely one of the better ones. Remember this episode when we watch the next one.
Oh.
Just keep this one
like
in
a good way or a bad way?
Well, just fondly remember this episode. Oh. Yeah.
Cling to it.
Cling
to
it.
Saying.
Be like, this show is not that bad.
All right. I'll keep that in mind.
But that we're going to be at the season finale of season two after the next, or the next episode is the season finale of season two.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it sucks?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, I don't want to... Spoiler alert.
Oh, okay.
It's not the best.
Oh.
But then we're into season three, which has a lot of strong episodes.
That's what I hear.
Yep. I know. I hope season three pays off like I remember it.
You've been talking it up a lot, man.
Yeah, well, we've earned it at this point. Everyone says just skip to season three, but I feel like, no way. Patrick Winniger, he's got to earn season three.
I feel like I'm being hazed.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Again, you got to wallow in the mud to know what the sun feels like.
You know, I don't feel that way about this episode.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Peak performance was good. I enjoyed it.
Ah, that's awesome. So where would you rank Star Trek Next Generation now? A to F. Where are we?
I'm going to say a solid C.
A C?
Yeah, so far.
What?
We're in season two, man.
Oh.
That could be a lot worse. That's still a passing grade.
That's average. Oh, I'm disappointed. But this was a great episode.
This
I was hoping to
yeah.
catch you on a B, maybe.
Okay. I'm sure my opinion of it will increase.
B for Borg.
No.
Resistance is futile.
Oh, B for Borg. Okay.
Yeah. What do you think I said?
Bored.
Nope. Well, Patrick, is there anything you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No, man. Just keep listening to Pat Trek. Leave us reviews. As we have said before, we will read them. Subscribe on iTunes. And yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for interacting with us.
Yeah. This podcast is so much fun.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy to have you back on my couch watching Star Trek again.
Yeah.
I missed you, buddy.
Every
time
you
you're
too.
Gone for more than a week, I'm like, God, didn't get my Patrick Winniger time.
Yeah, sorry, man. I was in Omaha.
It's okay. Family matters.
Yeah. Also, also an excellent show.
What would you rate Family Matters?
So before Stefan or post Stefan? When they bought the diner or post or before they had the diner?
Oh, man, you remember a lot about that show.
I used to watch it every week.
I would say the series as a whole.
C.
A C?
Solid C.
Oh, wow. Same level of Star Trek.
That's just what I rate everything.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not. Well, yeah, as Patrick said, thank you so much for listening. We have a blast doing the show. I hope you like the bonus episodes that are coming out. Again, I'll drop the third one, the finale, in the next few days, hopefully. They do take a long time to edit. Please, if you like actual play podcasts of people playing role-playing games with a bunch of sound effects and stuff, listen to The Dungeon Rats. You can find that at thedungeonrats.com, and it's an interactive dungeon. Get suggestions and encounters from the listeners and make our players deal with it. Patrick was on that show once.
I will. I promise.
Let's bust him up.